there's those frustrations people are experiencing right now. We just see ourselves just coming before the Lord Jesus and just laying everything at your feet, Lord God. All those worries, all those concerns, all those frustrations, all those anxieties, Lord God. Even healings, Lord God, we just lay it at your feet right now in Jesus' mighty name. Lord God, because you care for us, you love us intensely, Lord God, that you would send your son to come and die for us, oh God. So I just thank you for that right now. Thank you in Jesus' name. So I just got just a few announcements here before my brother Ray will come up and share his testimony. Praise in the Park today at 3 o'clock to 8 o'clock tonight. There will be no prayer here tonight, so everybody's welcome. I think also you could probably even park here in the parking lot if you want and just maybe walk from here. There's not going to be any parking over there. So if you're thinking of bringing your vehicle over there, it's going to be blocked off, okay? Just wanted to welcome all the new people. There's some new people here today. Just welcome in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you experienced a storm this week? Man, was it awesome or what? I'll tell you, I was praying. I live in a mobile home, and those things, they get airborne. You know, we heard about them when they go through, eh? I was praying, and man, it just came up just like that. One minute was just, you know, fairly like a storm, but all of a sudden, here it is right now. So I grabbed my boys. I said, let's go. Let's get out of there. So we got out into the van, and we're out traipsing around, driving around. I felt safer driving around than being in the trailer. And we ended up leaving our little puppy dog there. So I experienced the wrath. You know what I mean. Anyway, so this storm, I was, you know, driving around, you see all these trees, and they're kind of split here and there, eh? And so God just kind of gave me a correlation about our lives. We're going to go through storms. Every one of us here will go through storms. Amen? It's a guarantee. It just happens. But how do we survive the storm? Amen? And so we see some of these trees, they break off, right? So what I want to say this morning, so our relationship with Jesus Christ must be like this. So pursue this relationship with him. And we'll be able to experience those storms. We'll be able to walk through them. Yes, they're hard. And they're heart-wrenching. But the Holy Spirit of the living God inside of us builds us up, strengthens up us. Amen? Because I tell you, we're going through storms. We go through storms, eh? And then we see what we're made of. We see if we got some cracks. Now, those cracks have come, and we see them, and we may have some things broken. But it's not for condemnation, okay? Don't think, oh, well, you know, you're just a so-and-so and a low life and all this. No, no, no. Jesus does not condemn us, amen? He shows us these things so that we can, let's pray into that area. Maybe we need some help in that area. And so we're here to do that for all of you. So, associate pastor, myself, Stan, and the leadership here, if you need prayer, come on up. We'll pray for you. Amen? I heard a powerful testimony this morning. I didn't even know I was a part of it. My sister, Annabelle, me and my wife supposedly prayed for her. I don't know. It could have happened. Anyway, she got healing in her ears. She's got 92 or 95%, 98% her hearing back. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, so thank you, Lord. I can't take no glory for that because I don't remember the time. So praise God anyway. Amen. My brother Carter over here, playing the tambourine. Amen. Playing the tambourine. We just want to pray for this young man. He's going through a, what is he going for tomorrow? There you go. He's going for that tomorrow. So at least, let's just believe with me. Amen? Father God, I just want to pray for Carter. Thank you for this young man, Lord God. Holy Spirit, come blow on this young man, Lord God. Just blow on them right now in Jesus' mighty name. Holy Spirit, flood them with your presence, oh God. Just flood them right from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet in Jesus' mighty name. That his faith and his trust in the living God, and this is his cry of his heart. Lord God, you show him, Jesus, how real you are, Lord God. So just undertake for my brother. Make a way where there seems to be no way, that you will make that way, Lord God. So I just thank you for Carter right now, for touching him right now in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Hey? Oh, thank you. Yeah, you bet. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Okay, my brother, Ray Paquette. A little history. It's just about a year now. Some of you guys maybe don't know. I oversee Lazarus House Ministries. It's a ministry that for men that are desirous to become disciples of Christ. So last year, oh, my sister.
He's forgetting.
I am.
Sorry. I just wanted to tell you about a special outing on Thursday. This is for women only. Sorry, guys, you got to come up with your own thing. This was inspired by Sarah. We got talking about summer and what she was planning for the summer. And there's a lot of women in our church who don't have vehicles, so they don't get out of town. So we are going to do something about that. And on Thursday, we're having a picnic. And we're going to meet at 9:30 here at the church. And we're going to go driving out to Gull Lake and then to Bentley and to Sylvan Lake and then come back to town. And if any woman is welcome to come, we're going to meet at 9:30. Women without vehicles have absolute priority, but I think we have enough vehicles so we can take everybody along. You don't need to bring anything except from yourself. Swimsuit if you want to go swimming, because Barb will jump in the lake. So if you want to go, if you want to join her, you need to bring a swimsuit. I would also suggest that you bring a sweater or something in case it's a little windy. Just yourself. If you do have a blanket or a foldable camping chair, then that would be really great if you brought that. Everything else will be provided. And see you there. But I do need to know, because of vehicles, if you can let me know today if you're coming, that would be marvelous.
Wow. What was I talking about now? Just reminded me. Well, okay, just for something you guys to be praying about. We have, as the ministerial, we're having a barbecue on Thursday afternoon over at Rotary Park for all the pastors in the city and the Christian leaders. And something that I felt God put on my heart to try and initiate, because I'm part of the ministerial, so I got a platform for now. So I want to utilize that platform. Amen. So just pray that it's just fellowship. Just coming together and fellowshipping with one another, the leaders. Christian leaders of the city. Amen? And, you know, what comes of it, I don't know. But I just sense that we need to fellowship as a body in this city. And the leaders, if they get affected by that, you know, we'll be doing a lot of church services together and for the morning of faith service as well, eh? So, what time? No, this is just for pastors only. Pastors, and it's at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. So, sorry, guys, it's just for leaders. Just to make that clear, for pastors, for Christian leaders, okay? It's got to start somewhere. So we're trying to initiate that, okay? So my brother Ray here, some of you guys don't know, part of this Lazarus House Ministry, so he's going to inform you a little bit more, and he's got a powerful testimony, and it's all written down, and we'll be here for about 45 minutes. There you go.
No, I had to shorten it quite a bit. Good morning. Brothers and sisters, hey, it's going to be a beautiful day. I hope we have a good Canada Day. I made these shirts years ago. This one was made for Christians. We had some with the company name underneath to promote their companies, you know. So, in case you're wondering, I put it on Facebook, too. you see, I was born in Ontario to a very close and loving family. I attended church every Sunday, became an altar boy, very young. And even had aspirations of priesthood. We had three nuns in our extended family. Being a firstborn, and customary to our family, the men went to a private male-only high school run by Jesuit priests. I spent my grade 9 there, and I discovered that Rome doesn't allow priests to marry. Well, I had discovered girls by this time. So I went my own way, hoping to marry and raise a family and remain in Sudbury. I was a hometown boy, I guess. My father contracted cancer when I was perhaps 13 years old, so I had to babysit my three brothers, younger brothers, one just a baby. So I raised them up instead of enjoying my summers. So after not going into priesthood, I went my own way, hoping to. I went over that. Sorry. He contracted cancer, so I had to finish up in the regular high school where I met my first love, Juliet. About 4 years later, we were motorcycling with two other couples, and we had an accident that almost killed us and changed our lives forever. I was unconscious about 10 days, she unconscious for 14. My mother said I was never the same person afterwards. I'm sure if you've known somebody who was unconscious for a while, that's what happens. But our lives were changed forever. That's what I mean. I really thank all those who prayed for us. We had a good prayer family and nuns in the family and so on. So, because we were conscious for a while. We did get engaged a few months later, but that ended a few months prior to our planned wedding date. Later on, I got a job that involved traveling Eastern Canada, so I gave up the hometown and went traveling around Eastern Canada. And then a girl I met there gave me a desire to travel. She told me about a trip, an expedition to the Garden of Eden, leaving Geneva that fall. So I decided I was going to really travel and see the world, and maybe Europe, you know, after the garden. Well, when I went back to Toronto, I was going to quit, but I got fired. That's okay, I said. I'm going to overseas. So you can't afford that, but I knew better. After 3 years, it was over. That was supposed to be for 1 year, but I spent 3 years traveling around the Mediterranean Ocean, spent a lot of time in Greece, and I traveled over 25 countries in this time. I encountered at least 3 life-threatening occurrences. Almost a gun was pulled on me by a Palestinian in Damascus, and it was quite enervating and quite life-changing. No, it was quite scary, because we saw him load the gun that afternoon. We wondered why he was bringing it with him to the cinema that night. But anyway, I returned home after those that trip of 3 years. I returned home to Sudbury, where I landed a job with a big company of Hershey Chocolate, or a subsidiary of Hershey Chocolate, which eventually got me to Edmonton back in 1980. When returning from Christmas visit to Ontario back in 83, I had quit this Hershey Chocolate, because other opportunities came up. I noticed a red hue over Edmonton, which caused me to believe that this was hell, and I needed to get moving back east, get back with the family. But while sitting in Northgate Mall, out of the corner of my eye, I noticed 2 men in suits coming towards me. I says, uh-oh. Jehovah's Witnesses, you know. So I looked down at the product I was reading about, and as they stood before me, I said, oh, it's okay, guys. I'm born again. I'm Catholic, and I go to church. And they so that God caused them to say, well, you're born again, and you're Catholic. What do you mean? Born again, I'm Catholic, right? I had encountered the Children of God at a rock concert in Ontario, and then I met a Child of God out in Switzerland. So I thought I was born again. I guess I didn't know what it really was. So after a bit of discussion, they gave me a little leaflet that I brought back home with me, and it was there. I read that every night, and this showed me where I was, what I needed to do, and that I was going to hell, and I needed to repent and get baptized, and I accepted the Lord that way. That was my prayer every night. And after a few weeks, perhaps I went to that church, got involved there, and met up with a group of people and joined one of the 11 boys' houses they had going for singles, because they had quite a dynamic street evangelism going on, and a lot of single male and females coming into town looking for work or a place to stay would then be asked to join the house once they proved themselves. And they would grow accordingly. The teaching and fellowship produced many good followers. We see many missionaries all around the world. And it was good to reunite with them a few weeks ago. Yet many others that were seemingly stable sort of just fell by the wayside and went their own way. Well, I went my own way as well, but always stayed close to the Lord. I always said I would never fall, perhaps because I was never fully submitted. Maybe it was that first joint I had after 10 years or so. My son was born a few years later. Or maybe it was slowly going down that slippery slope, one mistake after another, which led me to my losing custody of my son, allowing me to be free once again, but deeper into many addictions. 10 or so years later, I was so dissatisfied with my present state. I was tired of the waste of time, money, health, and purpose. I had no purpose. I justified it by thinking I was using them when they came over with treats, but soon realized I was unjustly used and abused by so many well-meaning friends who were out for themselves and their high. Many can agree. I was evicted from 3 different places. Although I was a good living man, the eviction comes around when you have too many guests coming by frequently. I remember contemplating my life and recalling how my life at the boys' houses were my better days and years. Will I ever be able to escape this rut I had dug myself into, I wondered. Well, I never gave up on Jesus, even after being called a hypocrite for attending church on Sundays. I would leave people partying in my place to go to church and then come back. But I refused to give Satan all my time, I told them. You see, the devil, his drug, his whatever addictions, want to take over your every desire and purpose and possibly get you to overdose. But I wasn't going to let him win. I loved the bumper sticker I had on 2 cars, and I tried to live up to that as best as I could. The verse that really spoke to me and that we all know from 2 Chronicles 7:14, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." I implored of the Lord many times, and through a series of events, a way out developed. I mean out. I have often told the fearful, those guys who were always afraid, I told them about God's promise. All things work out for God, for good to them who love God and are called according to his purpose. Trust in him, I said. Even though I had been warned, I carried out a deed almost not in my right mind. I was either high or just not being led. Not by, I wonder, by the Spirit. But I risked imprisonment by doing this. And, that's what happened. Over a year later, alone in the cell, I realized the depth of God's amazing love is never-ending love, no matter what I did. And the purpose for this time, I was able to focus on Him and Him alone and speak to Him from the depths of my heart. For that's what He wants, I learned, from your heart. He wants your heart. In Jeremiah 29:13, God says, "You shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." Not just part, all of it. And I really poured it out. Yeah, you see, He knows what's in your heart. And when you empty it out to Him, when you pour it out, He hears you. And the realization gave me so many goosebumps and led me to totally recommit my life for His purpose. Now I felt more alive and determined to make good on my promise, as there was nothing better to live for. Once I came out, I prayed about it for about 6 months until one day I opened up the CLN, and there's an ad looking for a person to house lead and mentor others. Well, wow, can I do that? Well, that's what I'm doing. I was a house leader before, and that's what I'm doing in Calgary. I'm mentoring others. I'm praying with them. Well, God, is that what you have for me? Well, I prayed for it for a whole 10 days or more before I called Alvin. And I said, "Hey, Alvin, I'll be going by there on Sunday." Just so happened I was being released. God was right on time. And I says, can I drop by to see you? You see, that morning, I woke up, and it was still dark, so I shut my eyes. Then I woke up again. I had just seen the Lord. He appeared to me in a dream. I was interviewed by three heavenly people with a blinding light behind them. I couldn't make out their faces. But I knew I'd seen the Lord because that was an answer to my prayer. I prayed that all day long, all night long, prayed for everybody in the jail and management and guards and everybody. Things were better sometimes, and other people made it worse. But then I know that Jeremiah 29:11 had told me, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare, not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope." And that's what I was praying for, a hope in the future, so a purpose. And when I woke up and walked around, they asked me, "Are you high?" I said, "Yes, I am. I'm high in the Holy Spirit." You know, another good thing. And people, wow, you know. So coming here was really an answer to prayer. And that's why, that's what keeps me motivated to keep going the course, you know. No matter what temptations or other things that come along my way. You know, I'm so blessed to be here with you all. Given this opportunity to help change as many lives the Lord will allow as He changes mine just by being here with you all and with these others. And it really gives me a good future and a hope. And I pray that you're all seeking the Lord with all your heart because you will find Him. God bless you all. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord God. Lord God, I just want to thank you for bringing Ray into our lives. God, he's a special man, Lord God, with special heart, Lord God. We appreciate him, love this man so much, and we continue to pray and intercede for him. He'll rise to the fullness that you have for him, Lord God. Thank you for all the men that he's touched and ministered to over this last just about a year now, Lord God, and we pray it'll just continue, it will grow, it will flourish and blossom, Lord God. And so we just thank you for him and comfort him. And in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord God. And I just pray for Stan, Lord God, as he brings forth the word this morning. I believe I already prayed, but Lord God, just open up our hearts to hear from you this morning, Lord God. God, to hear what you have to say to each of us. I believe you're an individual God, God, that you know everyone here. So open up our hearts to hear from you this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Did you want this out?
problem. And if any other time throughout the morning I'm off at all, just speak out loud and let me know. You'll say, you're off, okay? Welcome. It's good to be here. Jesus is alive, and I just so appreciate what Ray had to share, and it fits so good, I think, with the whole theme this morning, the songs this morning that were all about the blood of Jesus, about the redemption, that we have a God who came for us. He came to die for us. We believe in Christ and in Him crucified. He gave His life so that we could live. You know, we can be forgiven. Yeah, that's okay. You can clap. If you're going to clap for anything, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. And Ray, I love what your story, just, you know, how God's changed your life and how He's using you. And one thing that's really clear is just how you want to continue to be used by Him. That you've got a dream in your life. You want to fulfill that dream, that God has given you that dream. We just bless you. And it fits so well, you know, and I think what God wants to say to us this morning, because God wants to say to us this morning that each one of us is an important part of the body, and that each one of us, you know, we're here for a reason. There's a reason why, not why you're just sitting here, but why we're living. There's a reason why Christ has redeemed our lives, and that we have such an important message to tell the world, don't we? I mean, we have the best news of all to tell the world that there is salvation through Jesus Christ. And if we can't be excited about that, and if we can't speak with conviction when it comes to what Jesus has done for us, then we maybe need to take another good look at who we are, right? And what God has done. And really, all of this comes out of the context of gratitude. What I hear from you is gratitude. And it's in that context of gratitude, when we start remembering what Jesus has done for us, when I think about that, when I'm really living in that place where I'm just grateful, and just flowing in the Spirit because of the redemption in my life, because the forgiveness that I've received, then I naturally want to tell other people. I just want to share with other people what Jesus has done. And that's the passage we're going to read this morning too. Now, I just want to, before we read this word, we know that in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus was preaching, He was healing, He was doing all kinds of things to reveal Himself as Messiah. And He led, you know, many people to Himself. He drew them to Himself. And we hear it many different times that many believed. Sometimes some of them fell away. But many times people believed in Jesus. So in the Gospels, Jesus is clearly the number one evangelist. I don't think you can say there's anybody, and I'm not talking about Peter and Paul later on in Acts and in the rest of them, but in the Gospels, Jesus, many people followed Jesus, and He had the message. But who do you think was the second greatest evangelist in the Gospels? Who? Paul. Paul's not in the Gospels. So this, I'm talking about Matthew, Mark. During those years when Jesus, John the Baptist, that'd be a good one. I don't think that, you know, John the Baptist is a great example. Lots of people came and they believed and they repented. So probably, yeah. Philip, okay. But we're getting now into Acts. We're getting now, not into when Jesus was walking on the earth. We're talking about when the church was being established. I've already said Jesus. He's number one, okay? I'll make this clear. Jesus is number one. Well, the story I want to read this morning, I think that this person probably comes in third. I think John the Baptist probably does make it second. And it's not like there's a right answer or a wrong answer to this question. I don't think that we're told. But this particular woman was an amazing evangelist. And I want to just share this story with you from John chapter 4. And yes, the woman at the well. And I'm not going to read the whole thing, so let me give you just a background, and then I'm going to read the last part of it. So Jesus comes to the well, and He's thirsty, and there's a woman who's a Samaritan, and she's at the well, and she happens to have a bucket to draw water up. Jesus wants the water, and He says to her, "Can you please draw some water for me?" And she's stunned. She's just absolutely stunned, because it was unusual that a man would speak to a woman or that a Jew would speak to a Samaritan. I mean, they just didn't do that. So she's just sort of beside herself. And yet she does it. She draws him up water. Jesus says to her, you know, Jesus says, "I am the living water. And if you would just take of me, if you would know who I am, if you'd believe in me, then I would give you a water that will spring up to eternal life," right? That's the kind of water I have to offer you. And then Jesus says to her, now go and tell your husband. This is in verse 10, verse 16 of John 4. Go tell your husband and then come back here. And the woman says to Jesus, well, I don't have a husband. And Jesus says, yeah, I know you don't have a husband. You're right in what you say. In fact is, you've had five husbands. And the guy you're living with now, he's not your husband. So Jesus starts to show her that he knows things about her that she doesn't think he knows. That as a matter of fact, he knows everything about her. And we're going to start reading right there, verse 17. So I have no husband, she said. Jesus said, you're right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you've had five husbands. The man that you have now is not your husband. And what you said is quite true. Sir, the woman said, I can see that you're a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. And Jesus declared, believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know. For salvation is from the Jews. And yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. I know you prayed that over me today. This is cool. Like she didn't know I was going to preach about this. But true worshipers will worship in spirit and in truth. And then God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and truth. And the woman said, I know that Messiah called Christ is coming, and when he comes, he will explain everything to us. And Jesus declared, I who speak to you am he. I don't think he could have said this any more clearly. Right? The Messiah is going to be coming, and he goes, hey, it's me, I who speak to you. I'm he. Now, here's the part that, you know, you ever have it before where I've preached on this. I don't even want to think about how many times I've preached on this. But something hit me this week when I started reading this. I've never thought of this before. Maybe you have. I'm going to read it first, and then I'll tell you what it is. So just then, his disciples returned, and they were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, what do you want, or why are you talking with her? Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ? And they came out of the town. These were all the Samaritans, right? They came out of the town and they made their way towards him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. Then his disciples said to each other, could someone have brought him food? My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say 4 more months and then the harvest? Well, I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now the reaper draws his wages. Even now he harvests the crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, one sows and another reaps, is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefit of their labor. And now get this. Here's, I think, the coolest part of the story, and what we're really talking about here, is that many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him. It doesn't just say a few, right? I think this woman somehow she had this gift of evangelism, and she's just used in such a powerful way. There were a lot of people in the town that day who got saved, is what it's saying here. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. Now, just make note of this. The town people repeat exactly what she said earlier. He told me everything I ever did. He told me, this was her testimony. This Jesus, who might be the Messiah, he told me everything I ever did. And so they believed. And when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. Wow, this is a great revival, right? There is a huge revival happening in this little Samaritan town. And they said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. Ooh. Can you say amen? They discovered this, right? Because of the woman's testimony. He knows everything I've ever done. He knows it all. And I'm just so amazed. When I read this story, I'm so amazed that this woman, I mean, she's a woman. She had no status. She was a half-breed, a Samaritan. Yeah, married five times at least. And and the guy she's with now, she's not even married to, right? But that she is used by God to be such an evangelist. And here's the part that I never really thought about before, is that why? You know, when I was reading this, I go, why would people, why would people believe her? Why would they listen to her story and go, oh, she just started following Christ. I think I'm going to follow too. Why would they? I mean, she had no credibility, did she? She had a terrible reputation. She was known to be, like Mark just said, and like we just read, she had five husbands, and she was with another guy who wasn't even her husband. I mean, she had no credibility. Most people would have just, you would think they would go, yeah, that's just her going, you know, doing or saying that she's that person. She's that sinful person. She's an adulteress. She's a deceiver. She's got this reputation in town, and Jesus makes this clear that she's known to be someone of ill repute. So the question when I read this again is, well, why then, or how is it possible that she's got such credibility in the town now? Why are people listening to her? Why are they following her? Why would they give her the time of day? Because you know what's been happening. They've been talking about her behind her back for years. Because that's how this works, right? This is how it usually works, not just in the church, but in the community. I mean, there's no secrets in that little town. That little tiny town, that little Samaritan town, there's no secrets. Everybody knows who she is. Everybody knows how many guys she's had. Everybody knows what her reputation is. And most people, I think because they're trying to be kind, most people don't really talk about it, but they talk about it amongst themselves, right? She's seen the pointing fingers. She's watched the gums, you know, flapping, talking about her. She's known what they're saying about her. But most of the people have kind of let this go. And you know how it is? They see her in the market and they go, hey, Mary, or whatever her name is, nice to see you today. And they walk along and they think, well, that's that woman who's had five guys, five husbands, right? And, you know, she's got quite a reputation. So my question is, why in the world would all of these people who are part of that same community and who know exactly what's been going on in Mary's life or whoever she is, why would they believe her to such an extent that they start following Jesus themselves? And I want to give you four reasons for that. The first reason is because she's familiar. She was familiar. The woman at the well was familiar in the town. She lived in that town for a long time. And because she was familiar, when people saw her, they saw the change in her too. And that's a huge thing. They could see it was very evident. It was confirmed in her eyes and in the way she lived and how she was now talking. Man, there's something different about this girl. You know what I'm talking about, right, Tracy? I don't need to point this out too much, right? But she's from the town, right? Yeah. Well, me too, right? But she's from the town, but she's familiar. And there's something important to know about this, that familiarity that we have with people is one of the strongest tools that we have in sharing Jesus Christ with them, because they know who we are. Your real friends, they know who you are. Your family, your kids, the people you grew up with, or whoever those people that you're truly familiar with. The mission field really is in our hearts, is where it starts. And the people that we know the best, the people who really know who we're really like, and I mean the good and the bad and the ugly, those are the people that are the most likely to believe when we tell them that Jesus has changed my life. You agree? Amen? And there's a familiarity. Yeah, you can clap. That's okay. Right? There's something important about being familiar, and that we need to start working in our own backyard, in our own family, in our own apartment that we live in, or at work, or wherever we are, where people really know us. You know, they've had the opportunity. Our lives have kind of been unfolded in front of them, and they go, you know, I know who this guy is. Or I know what she was like, and I know what she's like now. This way, there we go. I know what she's like now, and this is credibility. There's credibility in this. The testimony of a person who we're familiar with, who is an obvious sinner, can be way more impactful than the testimony of a shiny preacher who rides into town that we don't know at all. And that's what I want to say first of all. You have a circle of influence. And so do I. In the people who are around you, the people that you actually live next door, people who are watching you, and the people who are seeing that you are not the same Teresa as you used to be. And those are the people, that's where the mission field starts. If you're asking the question today, who can I share Jesus Christ with? Who can I tell? You know, think about who are the people the closest in your heart. Those are the people you start with. Because there's something impactful and important and powerful about the people we are familiar with. Second thing, she is a powerful evangelist, I think, because she leads a parade. I mean, she is just a parade leader. You can picture it. You know, she walks away from Jesus. You can just see she's got a flag, a banner. She's walking into the Samaritan village, and she is not keeping quiet about this. I met a man. His name is Jesus, and he saved my life, and he knows everything about me. She's leading the parade. She's leading the parade. This has changed my life, is what she's saying. You know, she's not doing this. Well, that was really nice. I had a nice time with Jesus. I'm glad that he gives me living water, and I'm just so thankful. No, that's not what she's doing. She is leading a parade. She has got enthusiasm, and she's got conviction. Could this be the Messiah? She says, right? I love this about her, and it reminds me, I got to be enthusiastic about this. I got to have joy about this Jesus. Jesus promised her, he says, if you'll drink of me, I will give you living water and it will spring up to eternal life. And she proves, listen to me, she proves that she's received that by the parade that she leads into that little Samaritan village. I don't know what she did. I just think she went knocking on every door and she saw every old girlfriend and talked to her old husbands probably. And she said, hey, listen, Jesus, this guy named Jesus is here and he's amazing. And he's changed my life. And you know what? This is craziness. He knows everything I've ever done. And people believed. They believed because of her conviction, because she was filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the only way to describe this. She was filled with the life-giving power of the Holy Spirit. The living water just sprung up out of her. Amen? Oh, we got to do so much more than just sitting and going, it's such a nice service, isn't it, Terry? Wasn't Ray good? Oh, that was good. And the music was so nice. Now I'm going home, right? We have so much to share in this world, and if we had half of the enthusiasm and the conviction of this woman, there wouldn't be an empty seat in this place. That's the second thing. She leads the parade. Now, my question for you today is, what's your parade? Where are you supposed to be parading around the good news of Jesus Christ? It's his blood, right, Don? It's his blood that he poured out for me. It's always a redemptive story. It's always about how he brought me from darkness into light. And it's about the blood. And I got to be more excited about that than who's winning in the NHL rankings or what's going on politically in this country or whatever else. It's got to be about Jesus. And that's the third point. I think the third thing that sets this woman, the Samaritan, apart that is astounding is that her whole message is about Jesus. She wants people to know it's Jesus. Come and see the man. It's not about even what he does. It's not about all the miracles even. She says, I want you to come and meet the man. She says, I think she says it two times. Come and see the man who told me, and he knows everything I've ever done. It's all about Jesus. And she asks the provocative question, could this be the Messiah? Could he be the one we've been waiting for? Because you see, even the Samaritans were wondering about who Messiah might be. Could this be Messiah? What a great question. If we're going to make an impact in this world, if we're going to call people to salvation, we're going to let people know there's forgiveness and there's hope in Jesus Christ, maybe that's a good question to start with. Could Jesus be the answer? Could Jesus be the one who drags you out of that addiction? Could he be the one who reveals the sin that's in us and sets us free? Could Jesus be Messiah? Yes. Yes. Woo! Yes. He's Messiah. He's Messiah. It's all about Jesus. We need to be about Jesus. Jesus has to be the central message, not about being successful, not about how to make more money or how God's going to bless us with more money. Sometimes I read sermon titles. I'll just for fun, I'll go to some city and want to know what people are preaching about. One guy is preaching this week about 9 ways to be a good friend. That was the sermon going to be about. I want you to be good friends. Don't get me wrong. I really do. But I want you, much more importantly, to know who Jesus is. And a lot of churches are getting into a lot of self-help, 9 ways to be a good friend, 3 ways to be successful. You know, this is not about anything but Jesus. And this means this also. Listen, this is not about the church. It's not about how great our church is. It's not about how if you come here, everything is going to be wonderful, and you're going to have all this family and all these community. It is not about being in love with the church. It's about being in love with Jesus. Amen? Amen? She was in love with Jesus. And her message was a message about Jesus Christ and him crucified. And that he knows everything about me. And that you can know him too. She told her friend. She went into the Samaritan village. And again, all these people knew her. They knew who she was. They knew her reputation. They knew her track record. They knew what everyone was saying about her. But they listened to her. She had credibility. And she spoke about Jesus. About Jesus. And here's the fourth thing. And this one, I believe, is the most important of all. And again, this didn't really, I really hadn't thought about this until I started to think about that one line. And again, it's 2 times it's said in this passage. The woman herself says it, and then all the Samaritan villagers say it too, when she says, "This Jesus knows everything I've ever done." And so the fourth important thing for us to know, if we're going to be effective in speaking about Jesus to people who don't know Jesus, is that it needs to come with honesty and with confession and with even repentance. And I believe that that's exactly what she was saying when she said that word, that this Jesus, he knows everything I've ever done. What she's really saying is, Jesus, he knows everything I've ever done, and I did them. Yeah, he knows what I've done, and yes, guilty as charged. She's admitting it. She's not saying, he told me a whole bunch of things that he said I did, and I don't think I really did them, and if I did do them, I got a lot of reasons why I did them, and that's not what she's saying. She's saying, this Jesus, he knows everything I've ever done. He knows everything I've ever done. And yes, I did them. And it's because of that confession. It's because of that honesty that the people listen to her. Suddenly, there's great credibility when we own up to our sin. There really is. And sometimes, you know, we think, oh man, I've blown it so bad. I've lived such a bad life. I've been so disobedient. I've blown it in so many ways. God can never use me, when the truth is, it's almost the exact opposite of that, that he can use you even more powerfully if you repent and if you confess and if you just own up to it and say, I need a Savior, and the Savior, he is Jesus. Amen? Amen? So there's confession happening here. I just absolutely believe this to be true, that when she spoke to her friends and said, he knows everything I've ever done, what she's really saying is, you know that elephant in the room that's been in the room for all these years? You guys have all talked about me. You guys have all, you know, made fun of all the husbands I've had and all the weaknesses in my life. There's been an elephant in the village. Well, I'm owning up to it today. I agree. And he knows everything I've ever done, and he still loves me. Isn't that good news? Hear this today. Yeah, you can. This is the best news. This is the best news. That even though he knows everything we've ever done, he still loves us. He still gives us living water. He still forgives us. He says, that's why I came. I didn't come here to see how beautiful Palestine was. I didn't come here, you know, just to have some good theological discussions. I came because I want to save you. I came to the earth to die for you. I came so that I could fill you with living water. I came so that you would know that if you repent, you're forgiven. And I will use that. And here's the best part of this message is I will use your weakness to be a strength in your testimony to help change the lives of people who are struggling with the very same things that you used to struggle with. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
I think three of you did. I'm going to say it again. He says, I'm going to use the very same things that were weaknesses in your life so that you can make an impact and a difference in other people who are struggling with the same sorts of things that you're struggling with. Because that's what redemption is. Amen. Amen. And that's exciting. When we're honest, there's great power in that. I think, I've said this many times, and I've said it to my wife many times, because I've needed to. I've said, honey, there are just the two most powerful words in the world are the only two words I can say to you right now. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And you know, that goes a long ways if it's real. If it's true repentance, and we stand up and we say, I'm sorry. And God goes, you know what? Now I can really use you. I can turn your weakness into strength. You're going to have a voice of credibility with people that maybe no one else could have spoken to before. Because I'm going to use this. And people will resonate with your honesty. They'll go, you know what? I'm finally hearing something truthful. And someone else who struggles or who has sinned or who has needed the blood of Jesus. Someone else who says, I once was lost. You know, why is that so hard for us to do? I once was lost. You know, I once was blind, but now I see.
Amen.
Right? Here, you want to know how you become a great evangelist, aside from, you know, the being familiar and being a part of the parade? Be honest. Just be honest. Don't pretend. Don't pretend that your life is all wonderful or that you don't even know what sin is or that God's always thought you were, you know, never in need of the blood of Jesus. That's none of that's true. Just be honest. Just stand before God and say, God, I have failed you. I've sinned, but I claim the blood of Jesus. And that's all I'll ever need.
Amen?
Amen? That's all I'll ever need. And I like it. I'm getting near the end here, but I like it that she doesn't make excuses. Even though she knows she's been the subject of a lot of chit-chat for a long time, she doesn't go to her friends and go, you know. I shouldn't have had five husbands. I know. But how was I ever going to feed the kids? Or I got involved in a lot of drinking during those days. Or, you know, there's none of those excuses. She doesn't go, yeah, but. There's no yeah, but. It's just he knew. He knows everything. He knows everything I've ever done. And when she owned up to that, people wanted what she had, right? They want that salvation and that forgiveness. I want you to think with me today about what that statement means for you. That Jesus, who is Messiah, knows everything you've ever done. Just think about it. What does that mean for you? He knows everything I've ever done. There is nothing that's a surprise or nothing that he does not know. He knows that day. You know what day I'm talking about. He knows about that day. He knows about that day that no one else knows about, only you know about. He knows what happened that day. He knows what happened at that particular party or at that particular evening or with that particular person. Jesus knows. He knows everything I've ever done, she said. And I gotta deal with that myself, just like you do. He knows everything I've ever done. He knows it all. He knows everything you've ever done. And he says, and I still love you. I still love you. Man, you are precious to me, kid. Oh, you're my girl, he says. I love you so much. All I want to do is redeem you and restore you and put your feet back on a rock. And I want you to be a great evangelist. I want you to tell your village. Go tell the town. Go tell the town. Go tell the town, Kit. Tell them how you've changed because you've met up with the Messiah. Tell the town. Amen? Tell the town. Because the end of the story isn't that he knows everything about me, so we're doing this. Oh, no, he knows. You mean he knows that? He knows that. Whatever that is in your life where you're going, oh, he can't know that. No, you're wrong. He knows that. Rick, he knows that. He knows that. You know what I mean by that. Right, Calvin? He knows that. So, you know, we can decide to go, let's get under a chair here. We're going to dig a hole here. Or we can go, no, he knows that so that I can be redeemed and so I can be forgiven. And so I can start telling people that. I'm going to tell them what he's done in my life. Amen? Yes. Amen. Amen. Ready with that song? Just before we play this song, I just want to ask if is there anybody here today and you're not sure that you've ever given your life to Christ, and you just sense today that you're kind of like that woman. You're at the well and you're having an encounter with Jesus, and you know that he just wants you to be forgiven. He wants you to have a new life. And you're not sure you have it, but you want to make sure. I would like to just pray for you. So, and there may be that there's nobody here today, but I feel like for me to be obedient to the word today, I just want to give this opportunity. If you're not sure of your salvation, if you're not sure you're forgiven, and you want to have that new start today, I want you to know that opportunity. You're here for that reason. And you're there that Jesus is saying to you right now, I love you. And I want to save your life. And I don't care about all the things you've done in the past. All I care about is that we can start walking this journey and this road together. Is there anybody, I want to just put your hand up. Is there anyone who wants to ask Jesus right now just to come into your life? Just put your hands up. Presley, I like that. And Shauna, that's good. Anyone else? Anyone else? Can we just pray then? Let's just join together and pray. Thank you, Jesus. God, I pray for Presley, and I do pray for Shauna too. And I thank you that you are God who calls us and saves us, and that you turn us away from the old life into a brand new life. We pray, God, that right now you will fill with your Holy Spirit and that you will confirm identity. You will confirm identity that Shauna belongs to Jesus. She belongs to Jesus. She doesn't belong to anyone else. She is precious. And that it's time for a new start and a new beginning, right? That she's forgiven and that she never needs to go back. And that she has a testimony that's powerful. So in the name of Jesus, just pray for the power of your Spirit to wash her clean. And a reminder that this is a brand new start again. This is a new beginning. And that you're a faithful, faithful God. Thank you, Jesus. We receive your Holy Spirit. We receive a new identity. Shauna is a new creation in Christ. She is the righteousness of God through Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. We're going to play this song, and as we play it, I want you to just think of two things. Think about your own personal life, and you've heard it before, but it's just a song that keeps coming back for me, and I think it really fits in good today. Come to the altar. Think about your life. What do you need to come to the altar about? But also think about the people that are around you who need to come to Jesus. Just let it minister to you. Go ahead. You can sing it too.
Are you hurting, broken, thin, overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to
treasure you found. We're going to conclude here, but I just want to give you an opportunity to come. Come to the altar, come to Jesus. Maybe it's not about, you know, coming the first time. It's about something that's broken. Maybe it's something that you're carrying that's just too heavy today. So I'm going to ask if Don and Mark, if you guys would come to the front, and Kirsten and Darcy, and also Tim and Barb. We just have six of you just come up, and we're just going to, I'm going to give you the parting blessing. But those of you who need prayer, you just want to come together and bring something to God today. There's a need in your life. There are people here who want to pray for you. Just come. Just come to the altar. Maybe it's just something to praise God for. You want to share it. You can't help it. You got to get the good news out. Amen. Why don't we all stand up? May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you. May God give you his peace. He loves you. God bless you. Just come on up. More love, more power, more of you in my life. More love, more power, more of you in my life. More love. More love, more power, more of you in my life. More love, more power, more of you in my life. And I will worship. I will worship you with all of my heart. I will worship you with all of my strength. And I will worship you with all of my mind. You are my Lord. Just come on up. Just come to Jesus. More love, more power. I will seek your face with all of my heart. And I will seek your face with all of my strength. And I will seek your face with all of my mind. You are my Lord. Precious blood.
Jesus, precious blood of Jesus, oh, the blood of Jesus washes white as snow.
What do you need today? There are people who are willing to pray for you. Maybe there's a dream you're dreaming. You just need someone to confirm it. You just need someone to encourage you today.
God is so good. God is so good.
Just come on up.
God is so good. So good to me.
He answers prayer.
He answers prayers. He answers prayer. He answers prayers. He's so good to
I love him so.
I love him so. Hallelujah. I love him so. Hallelujah. I love him so. He's so good to me.
He died.
He died for me. He died for me. He's so good to me.
I'll live for him.
I'll live for him. I'll live for him. I'll live for him. He's so good to me. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me.
Just going to ask, I hope this doesn't seem too weird, but we got a couple friends here from Estevan, and they were talking about a dream that God's starting to develop this dream, and I promised them some prayer, and maybe Pauline and Don and Tola, would you pray too? Is it okay if we pray for you? Just a few people stand around you and just pray for clarity. That's really what I think God's saying today, just some clarity. Just some clarity. Just some clarity. Thank you, God.
God is so good.
Toomey, you pray too, okay? You join in that.
God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me.
He leads the way.
He leads the way. He leads the way. He leads the way, 'cause he's so good to me. He knows all things. He knows all things. He knows all things. He knows all things. He's so good to me. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. You are the Lord who healeth thee. You are my God who healeth me. You are my God who healeth me. So in you, oh Lord, do I put my trust. In you, I put